Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, poured up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight. Join in with us. And let's go live. Preach the gospel and change people's lives.
Amen.
Amen. Can I get a big amen? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Here we go live. Now, here we go. Good evening, community of faith.
Good evening, community of faith.
Good evening, community of faith.
Is that you or me?
That was me.
Okay. We have an echo.
It's good to have you all with us tonight. We have an echo. We have an echo.
We have an echo.
We have an echo. We have an echo.
Today, Wednesday.
But hey, at least it's a good echo, and we know what they're saying, and they're saying it right. We have an echo. So welcome, everybody. It is a beautiful minus 16 degrees in North Dakota. Aren't you just glad that you want to come live here?
It's a beautiful 72 degrees in our house, though.
No world.
This is a really cool thing. We have this, our Christmas lights outside. It's kind of like a projector of light. But when you go outside right now, there's so much crystallization in the air. It looks like laser beams going through the house. It's really kind of cool looking.
It's literally like laser beams. Well, here we go. Facebook is so far behind tonight. Not even interestingly funny. So let's just try this.
Facebook is so far behind.
Oh, it's just like way behind.
It might just be us.
Let's see. Francesca. Francesca. Francesca's with us. All right.
Do you have the Northern Lights? Kind of. It kind of is like that a little bit.
Let's see. Well, yeah, it's on the north edge of the porch. Yeah, that's Northern Lights.
How are you feeling tonight, girl? It's good to see you.
That's a good one. That's a good one. We want everybody to join with us tonight. It's going to be a good program. We started in faith, so tonight we're going to be teaching finish in faith. It's going to be a good program. Amen. Wow, what is that?
Okay, sent to Alexander,
all right.
Ruby, and Roger.
What are those two stacks of? On Francetta's, I feel better. What is that?
Oh, a heart and a Band-Aid. Aww.
It's a what?
A heart and a Band-Aid.
I look like I got two stacks of bricks over here.
Really? I'm so glad you're feeling better. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We knew you would.
That's exactly what. Isn't that something?
I have to come once.
It's like, what is it? And why?
Oh. Well, that is odd. That's not at all what it looks like. There's a heart and a Band-Aid. Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah, it looks like Sister Francetta sent us all some
barcode
or some Legos. It's a new emoji that she's found, and we're glad you have it, Francetta. Nobody better than you to have barcodes for an emoji. I don't even know how to tell you. It's just another one of those things about this whole deal that just makes you sit here and shake your head like, now what is that? Now what is that? Now what is that and why is that? You know, it's like, that's just crazy. It's only a heart. I know. Well, on your side, it was only a heart. But that's all right. Glad to have you. Do we have an update about Ben? Isn't that something? Did you just send more hearts?
Yep, hearts and Band-Aids.
I now have three of those stacks.
Really?
Isn't that just something? Who we got? Rebecca Smith, welcome. How's things in Michigan, guys? What's your weather like? What'd you have for supper?
It's only a heart.
It's all right. You have a wonderful heart. We're glad you brought it here to share with all of us.
Amen.
God knew what he was doing when he brought you our way.
And we love it.
And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You sent one to Roger?
Roger, Alexander, and Ruby.
All right. Phyllis K. Raymond's with us.
Hello, Phyllis. Michigan has Northern Lights. Right now, Rebecca? Oh, is that what you were saying, Francetta? There's Northern Lights there right now?
Well,
that's neat.
We have Northern Lights here every now and then. And you would think not in Jackson, but up north, right?
Oh,
right.
Okay.
You would think we'd have some beautiful northern lights here. If you've never seen the northern lights, then get on a train and get up here and come see the northern lights.
We just want y'all to come.
Of course, I don't know if there's any northern lights to be seen, but we just want all y'all up here with us.
Francetta, go get your dinner and then come and eat with us. We'll quit talking to you so you can eat.
What's for dinner,
Francetta? You can see them in North Dakota, and they're beautiful if you can get. The funny thing out here is when
yeah.
you get away from town, to get away from the noise light, you have all of the flares from the oil wells that light up the sky, so you have to work at finding a place without.
Yeah, they have northern lights.
Yeah.
And if you go up on the Canadian border, which is about 50 miles, and take whatever that 59 or whatever it is across there.
Yeah.
You can find some spots there, but there's so many oil field flares here that it's tough to find a place that's dark enough to be able to see them.
Yeah.
Now, if you got over into Montana, I'm sure you could find some.
Well, that's where we went the one time we found, wasn't it, in Montana?
No, we just found that one field that had a gully over here.
Oh, okay.
Remember we found the gully?
Yeah.
But, they have some beautiful northern lights up here.
Yeah.
And you just got to be out in the right night and get where there's no light. Around here at night, there's so many flares from the oil wells that it's hard to get dark. You know, it's dark, but the street lights are out, and usually you can't even see stars out here behind our apartment. But it's all right. It's a beautiful place. You should come visit.
Yes.
And for all of you that don't know what North Dakota's like, ask Sister Francetta. She knows. Her family's actually from Williston area.
I forget that.
It's a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And we'd be glad to have all y'all come visit us.
Yeah.
Now, we may have a new visitor with us tonight.
And someday soon, we'll maybe have a brick-and-mortar church that you could all be part of.
Starla Renee, if you're with us, sign in and say hi. We'd all love to say hi to you. Now, for those of you that are new, you might think, what in the world? I thought this was a church program.
It is.
It takes us about 15 minutes to get everything up and running. And in that 15 minutes, we sit here and have a good time, talk about liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the pursuit of all those who threaten it. And so we're just getting to know each other. And, you know, what did I tell you? I searched it up yesterday.
Hi, Starla.
Hey, how you doing, Starla? It's good to see you. You found one of the craziest group of believers that you'll ever find. How many days since March 21, 2020? Wow. 648 days.
Pretty amazing.
Tonight we're going to be talking about finishing faith, and we're going to talk about being free. We're going to pray for people to be free. This afternoon we had a healing class, which was really absolutely amazing.
Yeah, how unexpected was that, but it was wonderful.
If you weren't a part of the healing school this afternoon, make sure you go back and watch the noon prayer program because it was really good. Oh, Phyllis, you got rain again? Everybody speak right now.
We started floating away. Oh, my goodness.
You know, some of you have heard me tell the story about the lady that saw me in a dream in 1962 before I was born. And Starla is Mary's granddaughter.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, it's a cool deal. And they have a wonderful family. I've been connected with them now for quite a while. Matter of fact, whose boy, Starla, whose boy is Aaron? Is Aaron your son?
Hey, Scott, love you. And hi, Rebecca. So good to hear.
Scott Sherrill's with us.
Rebecca O'Dell is with us.
Rebecca O'Dell's with us. All right, everybody, you got to start reporting what's for supper, because we really can't move forward until we know what you've had for supper. I'm having hot chocolate.
Yeah, we're kind of still picking at leftovers a little bit.
Whose son is A-A-R-O-N, Aaron? yeah, Aaron Avery. Yeah, I thought he was your son. All right, listen, now this is going to be an interesting story.
Scott had pizza.
Scott had pizza, all right. Aaron Hebert. Aaron Hebert is the one that got me going in Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, no.
Starla's son. Now, I want you to think about this, Starla. Every soul that has been saved through this ministry in the last 2007, so what would that be? 14 years? I don't know if you came to be encouraged or not, Starla, but every soul that has been saved in this ministry because of that Blog Talk Radio and now Facebook Live and YouTube Live is added to your account in heaven. And you might say, well, you know, what about that account? Well, that's the account that gets you your crown that you get to lay in front of Jesus' feet. And literally, because Starla's son, Aaron, actually gave me his Blog Talk Radio channel. At first, he let me use it. And then he just one day said, yeah, Pastor, you can just have it.
Now, is that the same channel that Rivers is off up to?
Yep.
Did you buy a different one?
Yep. Now, listen.
Wow.
I want everybody to pull up a chair and enjoy this fireside chat I'm having with Starla tonight, because
this is a cool story.
Because that Blog Talk Radio channel launched me into the Blog Talk Radio world, which is what caused me to be able to do all this. I had 777 Blog Talk Radio shows before I left Michigan. All right. In that, we were in Europe and Asia and Africa. This is before I came here. And there's believers in all these places that are viewing. And I don't know, you know, here you are, Starla, so you're catching up on what's been going on. He gave me his Blog Talk Radio channel. And now I have a young man on there who is broadcasting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of every week. For an hour and a half, he is blind, and the doctor's prognosis is Asperger's autism. And this young man has now been preaching on this Blog Talk Radio channel since the summer of 2017, 18, 19, 20. He's been preaching on this Blog Talk Radio channel for 4 years. And his viewers are all over India, Pakistan, Egypt, all over the Middle East, and the United States of America. So, I don't know if you wanted to come and get a little encouragement tonight, but this program reaches Asia, China, Europe, Japan, South Korea, Africa, Australia, South America, and
Singapore, Pakistan,
yeah. So I just want you to know, Starla, you got a reward in heaven. And thank God for your son. Thank God that he listened to me and believed in me and helped me. And here we are now. This is day number 656 in a row, broadcasting since COVID started. And what you're seeing, Starla, is a whole mess of believers from all over the United States. And, you know, it's just interesting how God sets these things up. So I just say to you tonight, Starla, welcome. Aren't you glad God did something with what you've done, all right? God bless Aaron. I don't even know what he's up to now, but COVID kind of changed a lot of relationships. But may God bless him and help him always walk with him in Jesus' mighty name. Wow, isn't that an interesting thing that God just did tonight?
It really is.
And
awesome, God.
And, you know, Samoa, Sister Elaine may be on later from Samoa.
Yeah.
And what is it? It's a message. This is a ministry of faith. So I would like everybody that's here to just sign in with your city and state, if you would. You don't have to, but if you don't mind, just I want to encourage our sister tonight. How cool is that?
Yeah. And we are in Williston, North Dakota,
Starlight. Yeah, I'll start it out. I'm in Williston, North Dakota. He's at Consumers Energy. That ought to be a good job for him. He's a good kid. Now, he ain't a kid no more. He's probably got 3 or 4 kids by now. So anyway, Starla, welcome. Welcome, 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 welcome. Look at there. Wow, we got 2 viewers in Williston.
2 from Williston, North Dakota. Wow, that must be a nice place.
Mount Olivet, Kentucky.
Wow.
Wow. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Heal her heart, Jesus. Amen. And Ellen Winter is Elvin, Texas. Come on. Thanks, guys. Shepherd's Michigan. That's awesome.
I love this.
This makes my heart happy every time we do this.
It does.
We might have to do this rather than say what you had for supper.
Where you're from.
Of course,
that doesn't change as much as dinner does.
No. Amen, friend. Heal our sister's heavy heart tonight. And we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that everywhere, every area of Starla's life, Lord, I don't know it, but you've never missed 1 second of it. And all of us believers here put our faith with our dear sister that life and health and strength and peace comes to Starla and her family.
Amen.
The children are in many different places. May they all be blessed with the manifest presence of Almighty God in their lives. I speak it, Lord, not only for Starla, but Everybody grab a hold of it and claim it for your children right now. Say it with me. I have the promise of my children.
I have the promise of my children.
To a thousand generations.
To a thousand generations.
To a thousand generations. And I'd speak the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it to every one of our family and our friends and those who are with us tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we've been speaking now about what you've done here at this program to encourage our sister. We thank you that we've gotten to be a part of it. That you allowed us to be a part of this program. And Father, we give you the glory and we give you the honor and we give you the praise for everything that gets accomplished here because you truly are great and you do miracles so great in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hey. This isn't how we usually start, but it's all right. Everybody's okay, aren't they? How about we sing our song we love to sing? I don't know if we can claim it as our theme song yet, but we're close to claiming it as our theme song because it's really who we are. Now, those of you that's with us, if you sign in and from your city and state, that helps our other believers here know where you're at. And Sister Starla is with us for the first time tonight, and we're just welcoming.
Welcoming. We are welcoming.
You from every corner of the nation. Amen. Yeah. Let's sing our song. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no like you, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. We give you the glory, Father. We give you the honor. We give you the praise, Jesus. Thank you. Every bit of this, it's like the Apostle Paul said, I worked hard, but the grace of God was working harder than what I worked. Our brothers and sisters have been faithful. They're here. We're growing and developing and seeing a new side of you every time we come here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the glory. And we give you the honor. We give you the praise. Father, I haven't said it often enough, but I bless Aaron. I bless him. I bless him for how he helped me get started in what we're doing right here. And that hundredfold return, Lord, that you promised, I pray that blessing comes upon him today.
Amen.
With understanding and great vision and ability to see you and know you and walk with you beyond anything he's ever known before, Jesus. Bless his family. I truly am a grateful man. Bless our brothers and sisters that's with us this evening, Lord. Truly, you've blessed us with an amazing family, an amazing company of believers, with a body of Christ that is filled with strength and power and real people, dealing with real life and overcoming every single day of our life. Thank you, Lord, that you have grown us up and you are developing us so that we can go out into this world and transform our communities, transform our neighborhoods, our cities, our state, and together transform this great nation and bring us back to righteousness, that great and mighty force that exalts any nation on the face of the earth. According to your holy word, righteousness exalts the nation, and sin is a reproach, and we rebuke the sin, and we give you glory for the righteousness right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I can see that Facebook has been acting up, so YouTube is live now. If Facebook keeps giving you trouble, we'll all run over to YouTube and hang out over there. But how about right now we make our confession together about the technology? That's what we was going to put in that program, wasn't it? Sat here looking at each other the other day saying, what were we going to put in there? Well, that's what we were putting in there. So give us just a second, and we'll have that up in the comments, and you'll be able to read it out loud with us. Those of you that are new to us, this is a powerful daily program. We're here every night, Monday through Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to, who knows, whenever we get done. And sometimes it's 2 hours, 3 hours, four. We had a couple that were 4 hours, but we went 8 hours one night. And the glory of God showed up. And we welcome you to come and be here. We don't have an agenda except Holy Spirit, lead us into the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. At the beginning, he called it a community of faith. And so that's what we are, and that's what we will be. Here we go. Let's make this confession together. I'd like to put it up on the screen, but right now it's in your comment. We declare all of our equipment and technologies function properly every time we come together because we are walking in the righteousness of Jesus. From Genesis 1, 26 through 28, we are fruitful, we multiply, we subdue this earth, and we take dominion over our internet signal, our electronic devices, and every satellite that is necessary to make it work. Keep going.
We take dominion of all the platforms we
function in, and we declare you will function properly every time we turn you on. Everything we do as a ministry always succeeds unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. Thank you, Jesus, for your example that you dominated all realms of authority all throughout your ministry, and we walk in your footsteps now. We declare a perfect program today and every day to the glory, honor, and praise to the powerful name of Jesus and to his righteousness that we have been made into. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, just like we do on a regular basis, if you have a request, we're glad to pray for it. And put it in the comments, and one of the moderators will grab it and pin it so I can see it, and we'll pray for you. We're going to begin studying here in a few minutes, and we're going to see Jesus teach the disciples how to function in faith when dealing with offense. Now think about it. The last thing you want to take into this new year with you is any offense. You don't want to take it with you. You want 2022 to be a year that's shining for you and leave all the offenses behind. And as we were studying today and meditating on tonight's process, what we're going to use, God very specifically spoke this to me. Many people are like, well, you know, just don't be offended. Well, except that's a faith process to get that done. And we're going to help you see that and function in that tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go through a couple things because we pretty much prayed our prayer time away. And I want to get started in the teaching. So we got lots of time on the teaching. Now, let's go over what you need to start the new year. You want to say, I love the word and I bought a notebook? Huh? Anybody want to join me? I recommend you get a notebook. Now, this is my 2021 notebook, and I've used it so much I lost my outer edge, but at least I kept it. It ripped off. And go ahead.
You're keeping it for what reason?
I'm keeping it because I'm going to glue it back on so that I've got nice cardboard on both sides of my paper. But I encourage you to get one of these notebooks and have it so that you can take all of your notebooks, all of your notes in one solid place and keep them together from the community of faith. Now, you don't have to do that. Nobody's going to come to your house and see if you do. I just make it as a serious recommendation. Well, check it out. I bought mine at Kmart.
Oh, my goodness.
That'll let you know how long ago that one was bought.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And it only cost me $1.59 back in the day. But, I want to encourage you to get one. So you got two more days, and I want you just to make this your community of faith notebook so that, all right, setting up a binder. There you go. I like that binder idea myself because you can put so much on a piece of paper depending on what size you use. Here's the purpose why we're doing it, so that you can keep your notes organized. And then as you go through the year, you can go back and say, wait a minute. Now, Pastor was preaching and teaching this on this day. Let's go back here and look that up. And then you'll be able to find the date. You'll be able to go to YouTube or Facebook, open up the YouTube channel, and search it by title or search it by the date. And you'll be able to find that exact video and actually listen to that program again. That's the value of taking a note. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul talked to us. Let's see. I don't think I'm preaching yet, but I am probably teaching just a little bit. All right. But the Apostle Paul said to us, be careful not to let these things slip. You remember where that's at? Somebody help me find that verse because my Bible program didn't pull it up. I think it's Timothy. I think Timothy's the guy that said it. But what's the purpose of why you're saying this, Pastor? Somebody find that verse and throw it up in there. Be careful not to let these things slip. What's the purpose of this? Well, my notebook here started on January 4th. And I can go back all through the year and I can see exactly what God was saying and the notes that I took throughout the year. I mean, there's just notes in here about everything, about every part of my life. And what I love about it is it gives me the ability to go back and see and shout glory because I can see growth and development happen. And so I encourage you, get you a notebook. This one's 150 pages. I seem to make it 150 pages, but that's highly unusual for me. I usually need about 300 pages a year myself. But what's the purpose? I'm just encouraging you how to put it all together. So why didn't that come up when I searched it? Hebrews 2:1, look at this verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip away. Now, here at the Community of Faith, we receive so much word, it's easy to say, Pastor, how am I going to ever keep all this word straight? Well, here's what you're going to find, and that'll help you keep it straight. God gives us a subject, and we start heading down that road. We'll teach it from this side and that side. We'll teach it from the top and the bottom. We'll end up teaching it for about 5, 6, 7, 8 programs. They'll all be the same verses each time. So it's not like with the Community of Faith, you have 8 new messages. You have one message and then 8 days of foundation built on that, which gives you a solid foundation in your life. And at the beginning of the year, we're going to hit all of the most important doctrines of the kingdom again. We're going to start at the beginning of the year, lay that foundation out again. Here's the cool part about it. Since the last time we did it, I've grown. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to just type it in there? I love the word and I am growing. I love the word and I am growing. Brother Roger Oxy, I'm missing you, man. I need your I love the word, so I'm not quite sure where you went, but it's time to get back.
He's still eating dinner?
Probably. That's really weird.
It's really weird.
I'm telling you right now, if I didn't see this thing with my own eyes, I would not even believe it was happening.
Wow, that's kind of cool. It shocks me when someone says something and I can hear you preaching about it in my head from a previous show. And I know my response to what they're saying.
Hey, look at here. Erin Hebert's here.
I don't see Erin, but welcome, Erin.
Welcome, Erin. It's good to have you, buddy. It's good to have you. Thank you. Here we go. Here comes the Holy Ghost. Thank you for sowing a seed into my life, young man. You see all these people that's here? Every one of them are being added to your crown in heaven. And all the victories that we've won right here in this last year and a half, all those victories are added to your crown in heaven, buddy. Your mom came on. I started telling the story. And it's right that you get to see it, young man. It is. And thank you for helping me. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for setting the path up so this could happen. I hope I'm not affecting you too hard and you're crying. I'm doing real good. I haven't started crying yet, but my heart is always tender toward people that do good things for God. Wait, he didn't do it to be seen, guys. Nobody knows. If I didn't say it, nobody would know. His heart is pure. He saw a way to help a man of God, and he did it. Thank you, Erin. Well, glory, we're getting a different start to this program, aren't we?
And Blog Talk Radio is running. It is live while we're live on here and YouTube, Erin.
Yep, Blog Talk Radio is running right now. I actually have three Blog Talk Radio channels right now. And the one that you gave to me, there's a young man out of Midland who he's blind. Only in his physical eyes. He's not blind in his spirit.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a preacher. He has Asperger's autism. And his greatest goal is that he could be a sportscaster for ESPN. But he can't see. But it don't matter. He don't care. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
And he actually had an interview with him.
He did.
And he preaches on that channel. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in the afternoon. Thank you, Erin. God bless you, man. Wow. What a night. Wait. If you guys think I got a look on my face of what are we doing now, you saw it's the right look because it's like, glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I am... I'm determined to get my brother Roger invited. Somebody send him an invitation.
I did.
Did you? Isn't that something?
Becca O'Dell, I could tell you this one thing about the wonderful rock candy you sent us. Pastor has been putting it in his Earl Grey tea. And it is.
It's amazing.
It's really good. We've been eating it like crazy too, but he discovered the tea thing, and it is really good.
So back to what you got to have to get started this year. So I want you to have a notebook, and then I want you to start writing some things in there. Write down the high points of this year, and write down some of the blessings that God has brought through to you throughout this year. Write down in there some things that you've learned throughout this last year that has transformed your lives. Because I know what I've taught, but what I've taught is never the same thing as what you're learning. And so this is the cool part about it. Every one of our notebooks are going to be different, and that's the way that God designed it, is that you live your life in your city, in your community, on your street, in your place, filled with the power, filled with the strength of Almighty God and watch God do a mighty work in you, through you, and around you. And then you watch God do a mighty work in us, through us, and around us. And we come together on here, grow and develop in God, and God does the mighty work right here through this. Tonight we're live in Russia and Japan and South Korea and Pakistan and the Philippines and France and Portugal and Germany, Austria, the Netherlands. I don't know if y'all saw where I grew up. That's a long way from where I grew up. But that's not about me. See, it's not about me. It's about the work that God wants to get done. Brother Roger Oxy, I love the word.
Roger.
Good to have you with us tonight,
Roger,
man.
You're here.
It's good to have you with us tonight. Brother Roger's from Warren, Michigan. God bless you, man. So we're talking about our notebooks. So write down in there some goals for the next year. Write down in there some of the things that you've got accomplished this year yourself. Write down in there some revelation from God's word that you've received that's transforming you. Write down in there some places where you want to go in God for this next year. And, you know, what's the purpose of it, Pastor? So all throughout the year, you can open this notebook up to the first pages and say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's what we're doing all year long. Now, I found mine right here. I found my list, what I wrote out, what I'm going to do. And you know what's happening? There's about two-thirds of it that's come to pass. Why? Because we spent all year saying, mountain, move. Amen? That's not an intellectual process. That's a revelation process that comes from down deep inside of our lives and transforms us into a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, and absolutely all things have become new. And, you know, you got to send that in the family thread. No way I'm going to remember all that. It's okay. It's okay. Make your notebook you. All right? And I'm only going to check these on St. Patty's Day. That's the only day. So that's a joke. I'm trying to make a joke. Wait, I got to be like Roger. I'm making a funny now.
Yeah.
Now, but I really encourage you. Oh, and I want to show this again. I showed this today at noon, and I'm going to show it again. You know, a couple of you were looking for it this afternoon. Did anybody actually find this for sale anywhere? I mean, if you find it, it's going to be on eBay. Snap a screenshot of this. With your phone, let's say that differently. Learn how to take a screenshot with your phone and then snap a screenshot of it. I think you'd have to find it on eBay. This is an excellent devotional book of learning how to walk in faith. And I encourage you to get one. It's about about 10, sometimes it might be 12 minutes, a teaching that you'll read, and it lasts for 90 days. And it's Dr. Oral Roberts telling you the principles of faith that he lived by. I like to share things like that with you from the famous generals of our day,
Yeah. Because
it helps you realize there was somebody that believed this doctrine. I mean, the book was written in 1972. Is that when that was? I don't even remember. This book was written in 1975. 1975, and he printed 400,000 of them. That was the first printing. And there was many more after that. Anyways, just a couple of aids I want to share with you as we get you started in 2022. Now, Jesus, what are we doing now? This is an interesting night tonight. Now, for all of you that are joining in, you're new, make sure you click like or love on the Community of Faith or on the YouTube. That way we know who's here and we know how to pray for you by name. If we can see your name, we will definitely pray for you because that's how we do it around here. Let's go now to our opening set of verses for tonight. And our title for tonight is Finish in Faith. No offenses carried through to the new year. Finish in faith. Some people are like, oh, pastor's talking about offense. I'm hanging up. No, no, don't hang up. We're going to talk about faith all night and how to use faith to fix every offense of your life. Can I get an amen or I love the word or something? Now, everybody's being quiet like, I don't think he's talking about me, but you never know. He might be talking about me, but just in case, we'll go ahead and be quiet. Let's go first to Matthew chapter 15, and let's read a story from Jesus' life. And then we'll go throw some scripture in from the Apostle Paul. We'll whip that up, fry it a little bit. Then we'll throw some more Jesus at it, fry that up, whip it, make a nice souffle out of it. Fixing a wonderful meal for you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Matthew chapter 15. And let's, woo!
We declare cloud cover, get out of the way.
And we declare that the internet works no matter what the cloud cover does. And we got a couple good ideas about some better internet if you need it. Here we go. Let's go to 15. And, we just got to start at verse 1. And we're going to read down through20. Welcome to Pastor Sam going, what is happening tonight? Matthew 15, here we go. Let's read this together. Hold your Bibles up. We'll make our confession over the Word of God tonight. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
Is making this word come alive.
Is making this word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life tonight. I receive the word of God
and plant him as a seed
in the good soil of my heart,
producing a hundredfold
return
in my spirit, soul, and body
in
Jesus'
mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. Here we go. Matthew 15. The scribes and Pharisees, I call them religious thumbsuckers, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Uh-oh. Here we go. Anybody ever watched Fiddler on the Roof? Tradition, tradition, tradition. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Kind of sounds like certain people of today. Wash your hands everywhere you go. Verse 3. Why do you transgress? Jesus said, why do you transgress the commandment? Uh-oh. They're a pack of liars. Jesus is the living word.
Amen.
Ready? Why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your traditions. For God commanded you, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. Not a good idea, is it? But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, what profit of you have received from me is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Well, I'm sure that everyone the same as I am. I want God's word functioning in all power and authority in my life.
Amen.
Amen? So say this with me. No matter what our traditions are,
no matter what our traditions are,
the word of God is more powerful.
The word of God is more powerful.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 7. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you? These people draw near me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men. Most of those commandments Jesus had given to the children of Israel when they were wandering around in the desert saying, this is the law of the Lord, and Jesus is the Lord. And Jesus gave them that law. And Jesus said, now you've made a tradition out of your law. Watch this. When he called the disciple, the multitude together, he said, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. Wait, I'm getting ready to take a big drink of my hot chocolate. There's no defilement in hot chocolate. Ready?
Amen.
It's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth. Can I get an I love the word? Hey, I didn't get one. Wait, look at here. Oh, all right. Help understanding 5 and 6. Watch this. Brother Rogers got a really good one in there for me tonight. Preach on, preacher. That way, if you guys are short on your amens, I can just amen myself. Wait, let's finish what Jesus said. Verse 12, and the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, did you know that you offended the Pharisees when you said that to them? He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hasn't planted, it will be uprooted. Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. Were the Pharisees offended? Yes.
Yes, they were.
Did Jesus care?
Nope.
No. He wasn't trying to offend them. He was saying, this is the truth. and you guys need to come up to the truth. I'm standing here giving you truth. Come to the truth. Get out of your traditions. You ready? I'm gonna pick on a few people right now. You ready? Anybody volunteer to be picked on? The Catholics have some good traditions. The Baptists have some good traditions. The Methodists have some good traditions. The Pentecostals have some good tradition. And I got a word for you. Most of the biblical denominations have a few good traditions. But when you begin to worship that tradition, more than you worship the God the tradition is supposed to be revealing to you, now you're just like the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees pick on me. We love you, Phyllis. We love you. And you too, Felicia. Amen. Watch. Jesus is saying, when you worship the tradition more than the one the tradition was supposed to be revealing to you, now you're serving the tradition and you're elevating that above the word of God. If you were following the family thread tonight, I prayed the prayer that man's sins would be remitted. Now, there's a whole lot of denominations not only say sign of the cross to me, they'd throw their Bible at me because I said that statement. Well, except I'm using the word of God exactly how Jesus taught it when I prayed that prayer about remitting sins. Just because, yeah, they call it doctrine. That's right.
Yeah, that's
you're right. You're right, Francetta. They call it doctrine, but really it's tradition. Because we get our doctrine from this book, not from the ways of man.
Amen.
It was years since you've been picked on. Now, watch this. Let's get those verses for Felicia so she can understand that. That's, what was it, verses 4 and 5?
5 and 6.
I've turned the page. Oh, there it is. Well, God said, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long on the land. That's the Ten Commandments. What the scribes and Pharisees began to say is, well, you don't have to honor your father and mother if you make this declaration. All the honor that I would bring to you because I'm your son, it all goes to the church. And now they don't have to honor their father and mother. Well, what is that? As confusing as that seemed to you, Felicia, that's how confusing it is.
It is. Like they dedicated themselves to the church so they wouldn't have to...
Well, and what they're saying is, what they were trying to say is, all the benefit you could have ever received from my life, it's all gift to God. Well, and by that, they're saying, I don't have to honor my father and mother, and that's just not true. That's the only command there is with a promise. Honor your fathers and your mothers, and so your days will be long on this land. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and see, there's the, and Sister Francetta's like, I like the statement that she's making. It's the church doctrine, not God's doctrine.
Yeah.
If you don't follow it, you're not a good person. Well, here's the thing. Jesus said what he said right in their face. They were offended. And Jesus was like, whatever.
Whatever.
They're going to be offended no matter what. And so let them be offended. Let's look at another place where people were offended at Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 4. Now, even here, we have traditions. But we don't, we most definitely don't worship our traditions here. Sister Phyllis and I are always vying for the last verse of the night. But she's got one of my favorite verses, so I just add a couple verses to it, and we always end up on the same verse. But we're never going to use our traditions and worship that tradition rather than the God who that tradition is supposed to be pointing us to.
Amen.
Just, hey, hello, Sunday. Welcome. Good to have you with us tonight. Watch this. We have here starting out with prayer for the United States, making the Pledge of Allegiance, praying over the fallen, and all those things that we do. That's a tradition. It's not like it's an assignment, but it's a tradition that we started at the very beginning, because I will always honor those men and women who have given their life for us. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to worship that tradition when, like tonight, when Sister Starla showed up, she needed to be encouraged in God, and we were able to give her that encouragement tonight. So did we not pray? Yeah, but did we have to pray? Yeah, we prayed, but we didn't have to do all the rest of that, because God is in us and he's with us. Amen?
Amen.
Dan Cottle. Did I see Brother James Denny sign in?
I didn't.
Anybody seen James yet? Brother James, love you, man. You're sitting at the dairy. God bless you. Brother Dave Godby, you're out there running the roads. God bless you. Be safe out there. Now, it's a Pharisees were offended. Apparently, they needed to have bigger shoulders. Well, they need to get there. Better not say that. Amen, Felicia. I don't want to be a good person. I want to be a child of God. Which automatically will make you a better person. I've begun to say, honestly, since we started doing this program, I don't care whether, it doesn't matter whether you call me a Christian or not. I want you to be able to call me a believer, because you see in my life that I believe in Almighty God. Now, Dr. Summerall said it last night while he was teaching his message. He said, all I want on my tombstone, here lies Lester Summerall, a man of faith. And that's what's on his tombstone. Yep. A man of faith. Let's grab another verse. Want to grab another verse?
We haven't done Luke 4 yet.
I didn't do Luke 4.
No, we're still waiting for the verse
numbers. Well, all right. Luke chapter 4, let's look at this. These people got really offended at Jesus right here. I mean, these people were like so offended that they tried to kill him. I mean, no, if you're so offended you're trying to kill the religious leader, you got a serious problem on the inside of you. Watch this. Verse 16. And it runs all the way down through verse 30. I thought we were going to Paul next. Who told me to go to this verse?
You said Luke 4.
Here we go. YouTube Live is up if Facebook's giving you trouble. You ready? Look at this. See, one of the things we do here, guys, it's what you love and it's what I love, is we open up this book and say, wait a minute, what's the Bible say? Thank God for religion. Thank God for denomination. Thank God for the people who are always doing things that are causing us to grow in God. Thank God somebody put together, Mr. Thompson put together the Thompson Chain Bible. Amen. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? That's what we got to get to. What does the Bible say? Sister Mary, Pastor Rick came in late. But
she's here and we're happy.
Normal honor the father and mother comments, not tradition. Amen. Here we go. 16. So he came to Nazareth. where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now watch this. In the synagogue, a very specific scripture will be read every single week. It's already laid out what scripture is going to be read in that synagogue. And on that day, Isaiah chapter, 61? Yeah, Isaiah 61 was the scripture that was to be read that day. And that scripture is the scripture about Jesus' assignment on this earth. So I want you to get the picture. Jesus was already accepted teaching in the synagogues. The ruler of the synagogue handed Jesus the scroll. The scroll was already laid out on the scripture for the day. And the scripture on that day is out of Isaiah 61. And here's what it says right here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Now watch this. To the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, who in their right mind would ever be offended over those things happening? Yeah, why would you be offended because Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel? You wouldn't. That he came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. But watch what goes on here. This is very, very interesting of what's going on here. Verse 20. I want you to get the picture. This is going on in the synagogue. There's a chair that was in the synagogue that was placed there for the Messiah on the day that he would show up. The day the Messiah showed up to Israel, he would sit in that chair in the synagogue, and everyone would know that he was the Messiah. Now watch, verse 20. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue was on Jesus. They were fixed on him. He's the first person that has ever sat in that chair. Nobody was to sit in that chair unless they were the Messiah. Jesus just said, I am the Messiah. Watch what happens. He began to say to them, today this scripture is revealed in your hearing. Verse 22, all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then they said, wait a minute, is this not Joseph's son? He said to them, you will surely say, physician, heal yourself. Whatever he may have heard done in Capernaum, do it in this country. And then he said, I say to you, a prophet has no honor, is not accepted in his own country. 25, I tell you, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. And when the heavens were shut up 3.5 years, there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. Keep reading. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian.
Isn't that something?
Jesus is in these people's face on the first day that he reveals he's the Messiah. Now watch. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard this, were filled with wrath.
The truth hurts.
The truth hurts, right. Go back to verse 22. All bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And now go back to verse 28. When they heard these things, they were filled with wrath and rose up, thrust him out at him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down off the cliff and stone him. But Jesus passed through the middle of them. Now wait, Pastor, why are you showing this? Because sometimes in our life, the word that's preached is going to touch things in the inside of us. And it's not touching you because we're angry at you. It's not touching you because we're on your case. It's touching you because the Holy Spirit is saying, do you see this problem right here? If you don't get it fixed, it's going to cause you some damage. Mary, Isaiah was a prophet, and Isaiah was written, Isaiah 61, that's the story of Jesus, was written almost 700 years before Jesus was born. 680 years earlier. Now, let's go to the next verse. Let's go to the next verse. Anybody know what it is? We're going to the next verse right now. Look at your notes. Luke chapter 17. Say this with me. I'm finishing this year in faith. I am finishing this year in faith. And I'm not taking any offenses with me. Luke 17, 1 through 6.
Did you see Mary's question?
Yes. Already answered it.
Oh, okay. I'm just a bit.
You don't have it fixed, damage to the VEC. I totally missed that. Now watch this. Luke 17, verses 1 through 6. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom the offenses come. This is a very interesting statement, because Jesus is now going to teach the disciples about offense, and yet they watched him as he preached. They watched the Pharisees be offended and the scribes be offended and the Sadducees be offended. They watched these men try to kill him. They watched Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And then those wicked religious people tried to kill Lazarus and Jesus.
Yeah.
And Lazarus like, we're trying to kill me. I just got raised from the dead.
It is wicked, though, to rejoicing over something so amazing. They get jealous and angry.
And offended. They were offended that people were being set free. Now look what Jesus is saying. It is impossible that no offenses should come. Let's put it into positive. Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, offenses are coming, and woe to the person by through whom they come. Keep reading. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck, he were thrown into the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in one day, and 7 times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. How many of you can tell if you have a friend who's offending you 7 times in a day, you probably ought to put that person a little farther out from you. It's not about anger. It's about, you keep offending me, brother. You need to keep yourself out there, because I don't need you and your offenses in here. You haven't learned how to live a successful life, evidently, and I'm not going to continually have you doing that to me. But what did Jesus say? If he returns and says, please forgive me. How many times are we supposed to forgive him in one day? 70 times 7 in one day. Let's read verse 5. And the disciples, the apostles, said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Now, we dealt with this about a week ago, preaching about offense again. Since then, and through our studies we've been doing, we've even taken the offense thing even another farther step that God's leading us in. We're going to teach about it in the beginning of the year. The disciples realized that they saw all kinds of people offended at Jesus. I mean, they were so close to Jesus. They ate with him. They slept where he slept. They went everywhere he went. So they saw everything that happened. And Jesus is now saying, offenses are coming. And you can't stop it, because people are going to be offended at you. This is Jesus. Jesus just revealed himself to the world that I am the Messiah. And because they were so familiar with him, they held it against Jesus and wouldn't receive from Jesus. They said, you're not the Messiah, you're Joseph's boy.
Yeah.
Well, except he wasn't Joseph's boy, was he? He was God's son. But they were offended at him. They'd already seen mighty miracles happen. He'd already raised Peter's mother-in-law from the dead. And so it wasn't like there was no works to prove who he was. Watch this. John chapter 6, verse 60 through 71. John 6, verse 60 through 71. Watch this one now. What a night. I hope this word is helping you. And once again, I'll say, If Facebook's giving you trouble, run over there to YouTube. It doesn't seem to be causing any trouble. Sister Sunday Kaiser's over there holding down the fort. When you get there, say hi to her. Ready? Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this saying, said, This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Well, what was that saying? Jesus had just said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you won't be partakers of the kingdom. Sorry, Clinton. That kind of stuff is not allowed here on this page. So we ask you that you don't do that here. If you have that kind of request, make sure you send it to me in my email. It's not letting me block that.
I banned it.
So okay. Okay. Somebody might say,
what's going on, Rebecca?
Help us see. Not sure what you need tonight, maybe just prayer. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus life to you, and I declare peace to you, and I declare understanding. I'm going to tell you right now something that's going on here tonight, guys. God very specifically told me to deal with the fence. And some of you right now on the inside might be saying, wow, something's happening on the inside of me. And you might be looking and saying, I don't even know what's going on. Well, one of the things is God might be delivering you from an offense that's been stuck on your life right now. Because he told me he's going to move mightily tonight. I've got to lay this out for us so that we can get to a fence and then see people delivered from a fence tonight.
Amen.
Amen? Yes. So that when we go into 2022, you're crushing the enemy every single day of your life. Ready? I'm in John 6, 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he is before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they're life. But there are some of you who do not believe. These are close disciples of Jesus.
Yeah.
For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I said to you that no one can come to me unless he's been granted to him by the Father. Look at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That is John 6, 6, 6.
Yes, isn't it something? When many left,
John chapter 6, verse 66. 500 of his disciples walked away right then. You might say, Pastor, where in the world are you even taking us tonight? Well, here's the thing. We've got to know what the Bible is teaching us and what Jesus was teaching about offense. Because I can sit here and give you all kinds of ideas about what to do so nobody offends you. But I can't go past what the Word says. And Jesus said, in Luke 17, 1, offenses are coming. Offenses are coming. And you're not going to be able to get away from it. And hopefully the people that offense comes by, you have the ability to get away from them, you know. And watch this. The answer for you and I to not take anything into the new year with us from offense is I got to check our own heart. I got to check my own heart. Let's go look at the verses again. We were there earlier today, but let's look at these verses again. James chapter 4. Somebody shout, I love the word. I love the word. I love the word. There you go, Roger. Roger gave me a really good I love the word tonight. Preach on, preacher. Watch this. Wait, if that's new to you and this kind of talk's new to you, this is just a big family. We're having a good time together. This is how much fun we always have. And sometimes it's really crazy fun in here. All right, but watch this. James 4, and let's go down to verse 6. And we'll run down from 6 through 10. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pastor, I don't need to be humble. I need to punch that person in the face because they offended me. Let's keep reading.
That's the flesh.
That would be the flesh. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Well, Pastor, what in the world are we doing tonight? Well, we're doing this. I want you to see this. Anytime you see a fence come, the first person that's got to humble themselves is always you. Anytime. Because the very first thing that any of us got to say is, wait a minute, did I do something to cause this to happen?
Yeah, kind of, Mary.
Love you, Mary. Mary, the pain is real, my sister. The pain is real. I'm going to tell you right now, This internet and this computer stuff and text and communication on your phone, it can be a point of a real offense, mm-hmm. and you can get angry. I just recommend don't throw your phone up against the wall. Okay. Why, Pastor, have you done that? No, I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because it's even though you got that fancy case that's supposed to protect it, that doesn't guarantee it's going to be protected, and then you're going to have to spend another $1,000 on a phone. I want you to see what's in all of these stories I read tonight. People were offended. People were offended. People were offended on every side. But Jesus said, offense is coming. The most important thing you and I've got to do is we've got to humble ourselves and make sure that we're not doing something to someone else that's being offended at us.
Yeah.
Now watch. The only person's life that you can ever judge is your own. Can I get an amen from you?
Amen.
Did Jesus ever get offended? No.
No.
Jesus just spoke the truth and kept moving. He was the perfect example, and he never sinned. He lived his whole life without being without sinning, and that's even when he tipped over the tables and used the whip on them people. He didn't sin. Be angry, but don't sin. Wow, Pastor, what are you teaching us? I'm teaching us tonight to go to another level with this whole offense thing. I'm teaching you and I that we got to be careful about ourselves. Nobody can offend you unless you let them.
And rebuking for a true wrong.
People are throwing things at me now. Wait.
Rebuking for a true wrong that has been done is just, that is not sin.
That is not sin. You can't stop offenses coming in this last day. Why? The internet is filled with people who are offended, and they have joined together and have whole groups of people that are offended. They have a whole offended vocabulary that they use now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And every bit of it's going to point its finger at a person in authority and say, you're wrong that I'm offended because you're in authority. Well, no, you're not wrong because you're in authority. You're wrong if you use your authority wrong. Right? Well, watch this. You got to pray for patience with others. And then we've got to learn this fact. We got to learn this fact. We got to not let people in proximity in our life past their level of maturity to deal with life. That's a big old statement right there. Somebody, I see Sister Francetta, throw the ball. I'll see if I can hit it again. Watch this. Watch. Here's what we got to get to, guys. We got to get to this. Because you and I have just seen Jesus instruct the disciples. You and I just saw 500 disciples of Jesus leave him. Mm-hmm. You and I just read and saw the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees were all offended at Jesus. We just saw that everybody in the synagogue that came to hear Jesus teach that day were so offended at him, they took him out to throw him off the edge of the hill and kill him.
Yeah.
In one church service.
Wow.
Wait, but the reason why they were so offended in one church service with Jesus is Jesus spoke the truth and it got inside of them and they didn't like it. They didn't want to accept Jesus as a righteous man of God. Now, let's grab that verse. It's not, let's see. Let's grab this verse. I command, I'm going to grab this verse. Jesus said, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Look at this. Unconditional love. Unconditional love is a good word. I'm not sure how you're saying that, Francetta, in the specific process you're saying it. But we should always be filled with unconditional love for people. We always love everyone, but you can't let everyone get in close to you because those who are not mature enough to walk with you in friendship are going to always be offending you. And all you got to learn to do so you're not offended is have people in the right proximity to you. Don't open up your beautiful heart to somebody proven they don't know how to care for somebody's heart. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
It made sense to me. If you see somebody who's always being offended over every little thing, don't bring them in close to you.
Yeah.
Why? Because then they're going to be offended at you. And the same mouth that talks offense about everybody else will then start talking about you.
Yeah. Sometimes others get offended when you tell the truth. Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, yeah. Now watch this. Let's go to Matthew 10. Let's read 34 through 42. Somebody say, I love the word.
I love the word.
And I'm growing in God.
Sunday's got a nice I love the word.
Oh, Sunday's got a good I love the word. Bless you over there, Sunday. Thank you for holding down the fort. And if for any reason, sometimes Sunday, my Bible app will cover up YouTube, but I won't see it. If there's a bunch of those people that come in there, make sure you shoot Sister Leanne a text privately so we can just keep deleting that. All that's pornography.
Yeah, it's pornography.
And we don't want that on our site. It's not welcome here. And that's just something we have to deal with on a regular basis while the program's running every night anyway. So don't worry about it. I'm just making you know we welcome you to send us a text saying, hey, I got some problems over here. Here we go. I am growing with Almighty God. Amen. All right. We'll answer that question in just a minute, Mary. That's a good question.
It is a good question.
Verse 34, Matthew 10, 34. Get your Bibles open and read this. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Wait, Pastor. That verse says, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yes, it does. And that's going to happen for everybody whose heart is right and humble before him. That's why I just said those verses in James is because when the fence comes, the answer for you and I to get out of the fence quickly is humble ourselves immediately.
Yeah, you know.
And if you've done something that was wrong, or even if it was just taken wrong, it's best to just say, wait a minute, let me clear this up. I didn't mean none of that. And whether or not you even understand what I was trying to say, please forgive me because I'm not going to have an offense with you.
Yeah.
You be the first one to forgive.
Yeah.
Give first and just say, I forgive you. And then, you know, check yourself and say, I don't know whether I need to be close to this person or not. Because you got to always watch yourself. Because ain't nobody else going to watch you except you and Jesus. Matthew 10, 34, 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Now, Jesus is not saying that that's how it has to be. Jesus is just saying,
Everything out.
This is going to happen. Now, just hold your place. I'm going to read this right out of the book of Luke about Jesus at the temple when he was being dedicated. This is reference point only. Luke, and this is chapter 2, verses 33 through 35. Luke 2, 33 through 35. I'm not leaving Matthew 10. I just want to refer to this. It says, this child is destined for the rising and fall of many in Israel. The rising of many who will walk with God, the fall of those who will walk in offense. And then the prophet looked at Mary and said, a sword will pierce you through your own soul, that the thoughts of many may be revealed. Well, that's what Jesus is saying right here in Matthew 10, verse 37, Matthew 10, 37. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Uh-oh. He just said that. That's red letters. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Wow, Pastor, what are you teaching? The most balanced message you've ever heard on offense, because it's coming straight from the Holy Spirit, because there ain't a note on a page here. Wow. 38. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Don't turn there. Mark 10, 29 and 30 says, everyone who gives up their whole life to help Jesus preach the gospel will receive a hundredfold return. Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, houses, and lands. Man, Pastor, you're making me so excited. I'm not sure what to do with this tonight. I know. Keep reading. Verse 40. He who receives you receives me, Jesus. He who receives me, Jesus, receives him, God, who sent me, Jesus. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. There's a reward that comes with a prophet. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. What's the purpose behind what you're saying? Jesus said, he who receives you or me receives him who sent us, Jesus. He's the head, we're the body. Jesus is sending every one of us out. But I got a word for you. If you live righteous, people are going to be offended. And Jesus said, if your brother sins against you seven times in one day, what are you supposed to do? If he repents, forgive him. I got a word for you. Whether he repents or not, forgive him, because forgiveness isn't about his repentance. Forgiveness is about clearing your own heart. Jesus had 500 disciples in one day walk away from him, and the disciples, his disciples, the 12 walked up and he said, are you guys going too? and Peter's like, whoa. You're the one that's got the words of life. We ain't going nowhere. What about the cold water? If you give a cup of cold water to somebody to have a drink, you get a reward for it. How cool is that? People are offended no matter what you do. There's always going to be somebody who is not pleased with you. Now watch. Why are you saying this, Pastor? I'm going to start circling the wagons. Because this wagon is always a really big wagon train. What you and I have to learn to do is we've got to learn to not be offended no matter what people say or do. Yeah, but Pastor, sometimes people say things and it hurts my heart. That's because you had them in the wrong place. You gave them too much of a place of your heart, and you gave them a part that didn't belong to them. Oh, wait, all it means is just get people back in the right place where they belong. That's all it is. You can't have a human in the spot that is designed for God alone. No, there's nothing about offense in that verse, Mary. That verse isn't about offense. That verse is about if you give a cup of cold water, you're going to be blessed. That's all. That's what that verse is about. There's no offense in that verse. Watch. This is where you and I got to get to. You might have children that don't receive you. Don't be offended over it.
Not saying that that's easy by any means.
Not saying that that's easy by any sense of the word. But wait. Learn this process. Those are my kids. And if they're adults, then you just look at them and you say, well, if they're adults, you got to let them be what they're going to be. There's nothing you can do besides love them. If they will receive you teaching them as adults, if they're continually saying to you, you got to just shut up, mom or dad, then just learn that you're trying to force too much on them, and you're going to have to back up and let your leadership now be done in prayer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You can still lead them in your prayers, but when they start resisting you, what is the automatic thing that happens when somebody starts when you start pushing on somebody? They're going to start pushing back. It's human nature.
Yeah,
you can't live their life for them. Because that's only going to cause you to be offended at them because they're not listening to me. Well, those days were for the days when they were in your house and you was mom or dad, and you still had the ability to say, this is how we're going to live. And now that they're adults, you can put all the pressure you want on them in the realm of the spirit and then go to their house and love them. Sister Francetta used the word a minute ago called unconditional love. And then what you learn to do is you learn to put yourself in positions where you're in control of the situation. That way you're not stuck with a whole bunch of stuff going on in a situation and you can't get out of it. Is it okay to tell your child when they don't have a haircut? Well, it's okay to tell your child anything. They're your child. The point is, if you don't want to offend your children to where they shut the door and say, don't come over anymore, you got to back off. Well, Pastor, I ain't never going to back off. What are you going to do if you're the one causing offense with your kids? I don't know why I'm on this specific part tonight, but it's okay. Here we are. And what are we doing? We're learning how to function as powerful believers with everyone around us. We watched it with our sister, Francetta. She shared the story about her and her sister and how that whole thing with Catholicism and Christianity, man, that's in some places, guys, that is a severe offense right there. That's severe. Amen. But what's the whole most important thing that you guys, that we've got to get from tonight? Humble myself. That doesn't mean be a doormat. That doesn't mean let people walk all over you. That means be the first to forgive and be the first to say, whoops, you got to stay at that level now.
You know, this is an interesting thing. As you were saying that, I was thinking even Jesus, he had all kinds of communication with John and Paul and Peter and Judas. You don't hear of hardly any communication with him at all. So maybe that was the case there too. He just knew.
Jesus knew that Judas would betray him.
Betray him, yeah.
And
You let him do his thing from a distance, apparently, because you didn't hear any intimate conversation with him.
Yep.
He never invited him up to prayer with the other one.
Yep.
Like he did, so.
Now, here's the thing. Here's what's going on. I really want us to get this tonight. Don't take any offense into the new year. You can't change what happened yesterday. Stop trying. If we could just have some real cool music being played right now. This is like the triumphant music at the end of a movie, you know. You can't make people love you. You can't make people receive you. But what you can do is make sure your heart is humble. Where you just say, well, excuse my words, please forgive me. And then learn to just check your words and speak in love. And yet, don't be a wimp. Don't be bashful. Don't be backwards. Don't be timid as a Christian. What are you learning to do? You're learning how to be bold as a lion and yet making sure that you're not the one that's offending people. Amen, Roger. Yesterday is in the past, so leave it there. Watch. How do we do this for this next year, Pastor? Jesus, I know you are helping me say very specifically tonight what must be said so that people have victory this year and it'll run forever and this offense will never get them again. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this right now. Now, Jesus said, it is impossible. Now, let's say it in modern English. Jesus said, I'm telling you right now, offenses are coming. And he said, and woe to him by which they do come. And the disciples said, my goodness, Lord, increase our faith. Because they're automatically looking at it saying, wait, it's going to cost me faith to deal with offended people. Yes, it will cost you faith. We're going to end up back in Luke 17. Turn there with me tonight. 17:1-6. In verse 5, the disciples said, increase our faith. And Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. You ready? Here's how you do that. Offense, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I declare that there's healing and restoration in my family's life, in my friend's life, in my relationship with whoever. I speak to this mountain of offense, be removed and cast into the sea. What are you using? You are speaking words of faith that says, offense, you are a spirit. I bind you and you will not function in my life and family. Because what is it that offense is designed to do? Offense is coming to steal, kill, and destroy your family relationship, your friend's relationship, the relationship of a coworker, the relationship of your grandchildren, of your neighbor sitting next door to you. Offense is a spirit, and it's coming to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life. And when you and I stand up and bring life into the situation where there's offense, all of a sudden, what's the enemy going to do? Because when you come with love and you come with life, the enemy can't overcome it.
Amen.
But what do you do? It's a bad spirit. Yes, it is. It's a spirit of offense. It's a demonic spirit. Watch this. It's a demonic spirit. You don't have to turn there. Let me grab this verse. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want this verse in here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Yeah. It says, in the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to a seducing spirit, a doctrine of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now watch. What does that demon do? That demon watches your life. Watches what makes you mad, what makes you happy, what makes you sad, what makes you everything. And then it continually is moving a person in front of you that will get you offended and get your mouth talking against them, because as soon as you start speaking against somebody, you start hurting your own life. Remember what we studied last night from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12, where he said, what you would that men would do to you, do also to them.
Yeah.
Well, what Jesus is teaching all the way through the Bible and the New Testament, he's teaching us that the words that come off our own mouth are the words that we're going to live by. How you and I treat somebody else is how you're showing God you want him to treat you. Don't worry about them other people. Learn this process right now. God is watching how I treat others so that he knows how he is supposed to treat me. Somebody ought to shout, I love the word, preach it, preacher, or something. Ready? So, so watch this. Pastor, how do I do this? Well, this is how. Bless you, Sunday. Amen. This is how. Start thinking right now in your life at offenses that might still be opened in your heart. And just start saying, I forgive them. I drop the charges. I forgive them. I drop the charges against them. I humble my heart. I am going to be right with God. No matter what I do, I'm going to walk with God. My heart is going to be right. I'm going to be right before God. Just don't slip on the porch, Francetta.
Right.
Now watch. As soon as you and I look at offense as a demonic spirit, then the first thing you're going to do in any offense situation is bind that spirit. And when you get done binding the spirit of offense, now loose the spirit of life into the situation. And realize that you are a life broadcaster, a life warrior, and it's your place to now speak life into their life. That person may not be... You may not be able to actually say something face to face to those people, but what you can do is in the realm of the spirit, speak their name, pray in the Holy Ghost over their name, and God will set it in order And God will make things happen that you never could make happen. And he can do it in a way that you stand there shocked. You're like, wow, look what God has done. Remember, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God's not going to humble you. You and I humble ourselves. The humbling is in our hands. It's in our ability to do it. And when you and I just purposefully say, hold it, those people don't understand what I'm doing, and I'm not going to try to tell them. I'm just going to look at them and say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And then you'll look at them and say, all right, now they're not mature enough to come in this close to me. I got to keep them here. Why? Because if their maturity level can't handle your level of maturity, then they're always going to be offended at you. People say, well, I'll forgive them, but I'm not going to forget. No. Jesus forgave and forgive and forget. So be like him. He's already done it. It's not about forgiving and forgetting. It's about proximity. People say, I'm not going to forget because you're not going to do it to me again. Well, wait a minute. If you didn't have them that close to you anyways, they wouldn't have offended you. Put them back at their maturity level and leave them in the right spot in your life. You can't get closer to me than that. Why? Because you're always doing stupid things and offending me, and I'm not going to let you in that spot. You're not going to get in where you can offend me.
Yeah.
What does that do? That helps you grow up. That helps me grow up. When you've let somebody in close and their righteousness is not at your level and they say and do things and you're like, I can't believe you just said and did it. That just means one thing. You got them in a place where they shouldn't be. Put them back in the place where they actually are in life, and then you'll no longer be offended at them. Why are we offended? We believe somebody would produce something, and they wouldn't produce it. I'll tell my story again. Amen. Amen, Francetta. Usually, almost every time, Francetta, I send you a notification just because in your messenger, so that in any of these situations like this, all you got to do is click on that messenger. But when I first...
You'd be very, very conscious of it.
Well, this is one of those messages, although... It doesn't make you feel like jumping up and running around the desk. This is one of those messages that you should listen to over and over and over and over again. Why? Because you got to get these principles down in your heart that no matter what anybody else does, I got to take care of my heart.
Yes.
Guard your heart. Why? Because out of it flows the issues of life. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verse, Sister Leanne will find it. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about me and Dr. Barkley. All right? At the very beginning, when I started my church in West Branch, I went to him one time. And I'm like, hey, Pastor, I got to talk to you. And so I went and I started talking to him. He said, well, I know what your problem is, Sam. I'm like, you do? He goes, yeah, you're offended at me. Well,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, hold it. I got enough sense to know that you're a prophet, and you just said I was offended at you. And I don't think I'm offended at you, but what do you see, Pastor, that I don't see? He said, well, you think I'm going to do this, this, and this for you. I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, I will never do this, this, or this for you, ever. I just looked at him. I'm like, never? He goes, nope, never. I'm like, you mean like never? He goes, nope, never. I just said, huh. He said, well, if you're never going to do that for me, then why would I ever be offended at you? Because I know you're not going to do that for me. He said, exactly. I said, no, I'm not offended. He said, doesn't it feel free to be free from offense? I'm like, well, that was pretty easy. And this is what he said. He said, that's the process to use all the days of your life. If that person is not able to produce that for you because of their maturity level in life, quit expecting them to do it. As soon as you quit expecting them, they'll no longer be offending you.
There you go.
Ready? I must say a word. Nobody throw anything. Jimmy Swaggart made this statement. Listen to this statement. Jimmy Swaggart said, the body of Christ did me to this level. But he said, my gifting only brought me to this level. He said, so had I only let the body of Christ bring me to this level, I would have never sinned. But because I let the body elevate me to this level, I was in a place where my giftings couldn't keep me. And I should have never been there. And I sinned. You know how many people were offended at Jimmy Swaggart?
Oh, my goodness.
Probably all the people that pushed him from this level up here.
Yeah.
Why? Because they pushed him into a place where he wasn't. And the only reason you and I are ever offended at anybody is they treat us in a way that you and I didn't expect they were going to treat us. And the only thing that says is, wait a minute, you have to say this to yourself. Self, had that person in a place that they didn't belong in your life. Might have been a pastor. Might have been a church leader. Could have been, you know, a coach, a teacher, a boss. When you put them in a place where they don't belong, offense is always going to be happening. Mm-hmm. Amen, fellas. Amen. You can thank God constantly for loving you so much. He has a hedge of protection around you so that no demons can get you. I know he has guardian angels watching over me and my family. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm in perfect agreement with that. Psalm 91. But see, what you and I got to realize is the enemy's always trying to get you to get into a position where somebody can be offended, you or somebody else. Because then if offense happens, now we got to change our mouth. We got to not be speaking against them. Because as soon as you use your mouth against them, now you're wrong. So that's why I'm saying, just learn this process. Humble yourself first and say, whoa, that shouldn't have happened. However, this mouth is sealed. I will not talk about it. Why? Because now that offense can be healed. And there won't be anybody. The other person might flap their lips, yakety yak all over town. But the only voice that everyone will hear will be the other guy's. They won't hear your voice. Your voice is righteous. People walk up to you and say, well, what about this? Oh, brother, there's so much about that you would never understand. I love them, and I bless them, and I bless you. Thanks for coming and talking to me. But I won't sin with my lips.
And God will deal with them as long as you don't sin against them, because then they'll step back. And
as soon as you and I begin to try to solve it with our own words, even defending your own case, I had a major event, a major offense happen in the biker world. I didn't do anything wrong. I just was doing my job. But they were offended because they wanted my job. One guy sent 4,000 emails telling everybody of exactly how wicked, horrible, and awful I was. And included me in the email broadcast list so I could see how many people he sent it to. And I took one look at that email. I called Dr. Barclay and I said, well, Pastor, what about this? He said, he's just got a bad heart. He wants your job. He's jealous of you because you're holy. And he said, and don't try to fix it. He said, how are you going to chase down 4,000 emails? I'm like, oh, no, there ain't no way you could ever do that. And I really thank God that that happened to me like that because it showed me the principle. Quit trying to stop their mouth. You be right with your heart. You be right with your mouth, and it won't matter what anybody else can say. You don't have your words into the mix, making it get worse. Just humble yourself and say, well, I know I can't trust that person with any information again. And all you've done is just learned to be an intelligent steward of your own life. You can't lay your heart, your soul, everything out for everybody to see everything about you. If you do that, you're going to be offended. And you can't blame somebody else for it when you've done it yourself. No, learn that you have a part of your health, of your life, and you're a steward of your own life. And God will help you in this process. How are we doing? Did we circle the wagon, Jack?
I believe so.
Hey, Brother Roger.
How's everybody sitting right now?
Brother Roger, get that last wagon over there. I always circle this wagon early because there's always lots of statements and questions that we have to make. Why? Because every one of us are dealing with somebody who's been offended at us. Why? You can't fix what everybody else does. And you can't fix everybody else. It's like Sister Rebecca's telling us about her neighbor right now. We join with Rebecca. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say, send a laborer across that man's path that will help him turn from those ways. And send Rebecca and Christine a beautiful home so they can move into their own place and have their own bedrooms and their own front room and their own den and their own place because your blessing is on our dear sister's life for her life of service and faithfulness to you. And because a hundredfold return belongs to her for helping us do the work of the ministry, we call it done right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, in a good community, with good people and good families all around her, in the mighty name of Jesus, the dining room and the kitchen nook. See, she's already got the idea in her mind. Amen. And a big garage so you can park the car and all the rest of the stuff in it. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will help you to make right some wrongs. Some of you may need to write a letter, an email. Call somebody on the phone and say, hey, I love you. And seems we have an offense. I'm not offended at you. I forgive. Please forgive any of my statements that could have been taken wrong. And this is the reality, guys. Jesus said, offenses are coming. And he said, you're not in any way going to be able to get away from that.
That is actually a proverb, Roger.
The question, is it better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're an idiot? This was an old saying, than to open it and remove all doubt. That is a proverb. Amen, Rebecca.
Yeah,
amen.
We claim that. We stand in agreement.
And we claim that hundredfold with you. Matter of fact, I want you guys to know that every day Sister Leanne and I are talking to God about you guys. And we're speaking the hundredfold that is rightfully yours because of your efforts to come help us do this work. And you ain't seen nothing yet. We're not only doing this, we're going on the radio. And we'll put that radio, we'll be on that radio station all over America. Get every seed you can sow in here. If you can only sow $5, sow it. Why? Because we're going on the radio and we're spreading this word that God has given us all across this nation and around the world wherever he gives us the opportunity to do so. Amen. Amen. Same thing for you, Sunday and Chris. Geyser, Francetta, and all your family, I speak it. I speak all y'all get a new car.
Amen.
Comfortable. The one you want.
Debt free.
And debt free in Jesus' name. And debt free in Jesus' mighty name. And that would not be offensive. That might offend the devil, but go ahead and be offended, you foul devil. Let's say one more thing about this. Mary asked about the scroll. Well, all through the history of Israel, they wrote the Bible out, the word, the law, prophets, the poetry books, and they put them on scrolls, and those scrolls were handed down all through time. And that's what they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls when that little goat guy was out with these goats and threw a rock in a hole. And he broke a dish, and when that pottery broke, they found the scrolls there by the Dead Sea that gave them the ability to truly translate some more of the Bible. And so those scrolls were handed down all through history. And they always had scribes that would take one that's old and about to be wore out because of use, and then they would rewrite it again. And those scribes, man, they took extreme amount of time to make sure every one of those scrolls were written properly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of them actually had it memorized.
Yeah, their whole life hung on that.
Their whole life hung on that. You said, Chris, name I've been thinking about, Chris, the one whose back was injured. Has anybody know how he's doing? Chris called me yesterday. And we talked for about a half an hour. He is still in the hospital in Chicago, but him and his wife have put a bid in on a house. And then the owner came back with a lower bid. And so the paperwork is in the process right now. And we declare paperwork come through now for Brother Chris in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare it comes through immediately and they get a better deal and they have the ability to have their family all together again. And Chris is healed in the mighty name of Jesus. And this family is restored by the blood of God and the blood of Jesus. After all of this horrible offense against them, you foul devil, we charge you guilty and seven times and double for the shame you've caused in this situation. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah, Chris has actually been on a couple of times lately. He was on Christmas Eve with us. Actually, most of the time we were on, and yeah, Rebecca said, I think it was yesterday that he was on. He's been on a few times lately. He's doing well.
The circle is closed. Amen, Roger. The circle is complete. Amen. Everybody want to sing it? Sing it?
No.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? I don't know the next part. I haven't sang that song in so long, I don't remember it. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus.
What else? There was one more thing I was going to say about this. Oh, I know. People coming into your life that offending you, too. You have to keep in mind when you're trying to not be offended. A lot of times that is a tactic of the enemy. If he can keep you busy chasing around an offense with somebody else, he's in pure joy.
Yep.
Because then you're not spending your time doing God's work.
Yep.
And being in the Word and making peace. You're,
yep.
You're busy chasing us.
Remember this.
Yeah.
I didn't put it in there. Let's add these verses. Or have you already done all the verses?
I haven't.
Matthew 5:8, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers.
Yeah.
No. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, you and I are ministers of reconciliation. We are reconciling people back to God. And here's the revelation of it. That's an empowerment that comes from heaven, through you. And you and I are anointed ministers of reconciliation. And that means we are doing our best to put sides back together that are at odds with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Any man that's in Christ is a new creation, and you begin to be a minister of reconciling, bringing two sides that are in opposition of each other back together. That's the ministry that you have.
You have a Jack and a Jake sitting with you.
Amen. Trendsetter, that's exactly what you have to do. And we say this, Trendsetter, and I've seen this over and over. We have experience in this, and that is restore the years that the locust, the devil, has tried to take away from your family.
Yeah.
Restore the years. Now, you can't say that in their face. You say that in prayer privately. And then speak it in the realm of the Spirit. Because when you say the verse of Scripture and then speak it in the realm of the Spirit, there's no way any devil in hell can figure out what you're saying. And the angels run empowered by those words that are spoken, and they understand them because it's the language of angels that you're speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Right out of 1 Corinthians 13. So that's one of the powerful examples of it right now. You just have to learn to say, God, you solve that mess. And then watch God put it back in order like it's got to be in a beautiful way. How did we do, guys? Did we circle the wagons good enough? Everybody still on the wagon? Anybody fall off? We got to come back and get you. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful night of your holy word. Thank you that in the word of God is an example of every process that we are ever going to have. And even though it may not be exciting and joyful study, your word will very specifically lay this out for us to see again and be a blessing to other people. Father, I bless every one of these people that are with us tonight. We are going to use our faith and speak to these mountains of offense, this demonic spirit of offense, and we are going to see it all fall down and no longer have any effect in our life in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are doing such a mighty work that offense will never be again. Never again a major issue for us, because we've learned to humble ourselves and then begin to stand in faith, in prayer for our family, our friends, and those co-workers, whoever might be offended with us. Father, may December 30th and 31st, great offenses be solved in our lives. May people make phone calls to us and we bury the hatchet, as the statement says, 6 feet in the ground. May we live free from offense, because we humble ourselves before you every day and say, Father, help me go love these people who are around me and transform their lives forever by your holy word.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, as all of you know, we'll now receive communion together. And I think this is one of the coolest parts of our program that we have, is that after we've been out there digging in the Word of God, we've been laying on the one line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Now we seal it with the broken body and the blood of Jesus, and it just seals this word on the inside of our life in Jesus' name. You know what I love to see about this body of believers? Do you notice tonight how much we've all grown talking about offenses?
Oh, my goodness.
We've all grown. We're standing on this side of Christmas encouraged. They may not have all turned out like we wanted it to, but I guarantee you this. You and I are able to walk with our head up, knowing that Jesus is on the inside of us.
Amen.
Let's pray again. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus, the most powerful cleansing force there is. Lord, may anyone hear this amongst us who has caused an offense that they've not dealt with you, may they use your blood tonight. May they find the repentance that they need. May they grab a hold of your righteousness and live in your righteousness from this day forward. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, I command you to get out of the way.
Sunday, I have grown. Amen, Sunday.
Yeah, amen. And that's the thing about this. All of us have grown so much this year. And it's just so awesome to be able to see it and to enjoy it. And anyways, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I know I've grown too. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. God's requirement, examine yourself. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. God's perfect love is perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. He's the head. We're his body. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love. Those of you that are new with us tonight, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we're going to do it now. Some people call it being born again. Some people call it receiving Jesus. This is the prayer that you would pray to be right with God and be able to receive the communion elements with us. Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
Everybody pray this with me, okay? According to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you, Jesus.
When I believe in you, Jesus.
You give me everlasting love.
You give me everlasting
love. And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for
it.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my life.
Right now.
Right now.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live
language.
A successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
A believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And
amen.
And amen. And amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Welcome. If that's the 100th time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. This is what happened in that prayer. You went from darkness to light. You should have experienced it on the inside of you. Yeah, somebody's, I can tell somebody's saying right now, Pastor, I don't know what just happened to me. We do. God just came inside of you. You went from fear to faith. Fear because sin causes you to be afraid of judgment and hellfire. But now you're in faith, Jesus' faith. You went from your sin, which you couldn't beat. None of us could. None of us. Not me or anybody else here could beat our own sin. But you just were able to receive Jesus' righteousness. And that obliterates every bit of sin in your life. And then the Father looked at Jesus and said, adopt that one into the family. And now you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. All of that just happened in that one prayer. You might say, how in the world can all of that happen in one prayer? because all God needed was for you to say, I receive you, Jesus, and he filled you with every part of him. From now on, your responsibility every day is to say, God, help me walk with you every day. And guess what? He will help you walk with him every day. Welcome to the family of God. They put my email address and website in there so you know how to get in touch with us. Take a screenshot with your phone. If you're using it, right there, you'll have the website and email address. If you're on your computer, you can click on that and it'll open up. Send me an email. Send me a story. You know, give me your testimony. Ask us a question. Any way we can help you walk with God, we will. How many videos did we figure out we had? 683 or something. We have 683 videos of teaching the Word of God to help you walk with God. In those videos is everything you need to know. And all you got to do is say, Pastor, I need help in this area, and we'll start sending you the videos that you can study. They're just like tonight was, and be a blessing to you and to your family in the mighty name of Jesus. Welcome to the family of God. You ready? Let's receive communion together tonight, right now. Get you some grape juice, get you some bread, and or a cracker. Julian and Bamala are with us. God bless you guys. We love you. We truly love you. All the way from Malaysia.
Love you, Becca. God bless you, please.
God bless you, Becca. God bless you. Thanks for all your faith, man. We got our faith with you. And that hundredfold return happening in your life and family. Pray this with me. Ready? I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
And sanctify them.
And sanctify
for them. This time of communion with you,
Lord. For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and
in my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body. Jesus.
In the body of Christ. In my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive the broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. You endured the cross, despising the shame. And we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
By the blood of Jesus,
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace,
where I find grace,
mercy,
and help
for my assignment.
Every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Has to pass over my life.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be
the glorious church
without spot, wrinkle, or any other
blemish.
When you come for me.
In Jesus'
mighty name.
Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know, we don't sing this song here much, but let's sing it. It's been a while since we sang it. And those of you that's got to head on out, we call you blessed in Jesus' name. For those that don't, we're just going to hang out here a bit longer and just be together. You ready? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
And like a flood,
His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace, unending love, amazing grace. That's one of my favorite songs. Good night, Sunday. Bless you, ma'am. We love you. Call your family and friends free from offense. That's an interesting statement, Rebecca. How many times have you said, in the mighty name of Jesus? That's an interesting, ask Google that question. Say, hey Google, how often is the name of Jesus used every day? See if Google can come up with that answer. I'll bet they can't. Well, amen, Brother Roger. Jesus, help me to walk with you. Send me where you want to go in your name. Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
His truth is marching on. His truth is marching on. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, I like all those smiling faces. Starla and Brother Aaron, thank you for being here with us. That was really good.
50,000 times at least.
50,000 times at least. I'll bet you we say the name of Jesus 50 times a night, 100 times a night, maybe. I assign one of you. Watch tonight's program and count how many times we actually said the name of Jesus. And we'll have you do that about three nights in a row. And then we'll just average it out. And we will multiply it by how many programs we've had. And we'll start getting a number. Wow. Well, guys, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you. Make sure you get you a notebook. And Sister Felicia will put all that over there in the family thread for you so you can do it. And we'll have some timestamps in the YouTube video for you so you can watch this again and go right to the time and be able to go right to the part that's where we start preaching about the effect. Like I said, this isn't one of those messages that made you get up and run around the desk. But it's so filled with the reality of God's word in the New Testament that it'll give you strength when you really start looking at it. And there's even many more verses in the New Testament we could have dealt with. But, of course, it's time to be done and be on our way to bed. All right? We sure do love you. Our closing verse is Jude, verse 20. And you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, looking, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the throne, presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever and forever. Amen and amen. We sure do love you guys. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. It's all Blog Talk Radio. God bless you guys. Make sure you send us an email. Go to the comments. Go to the notes about this program, and you'll be able to find my email address right there in the notes. In Jesus' mighty name.